Jetzt erreicht man Schnur, Beke, Schwil, Mechefer, Hirn.
I want to thank Tani, now in the show. Speaking tomorrow night's his lesson. His whole life should be filled with the good and the beautiful, the good and the simple and acts of love.
You know, I didn't realize how much I miss you and I miss this place. It's been such a long time. It's different chaverim who are here. It's been a very strange, long ben hazmanim for the entire world. The yeshiva is doing all that it can. The mechazik, the chevron, back with the learning. I understand now it's the jumzman. No, Shivchi Kamaim, Liveich, Noichach, Bnei Hashem. There's a Torah from Kedushas Yontif, Zchus Yeleinu. Kedushas Yontif was the father of the Satmarov, Zchus Yeleinu. There's a Torah from Kedushas Yontif. It's the meaning of Shivchi Kamaim, Liveich, to pour your heart out like water. He says it's an amazing thing about the ocean, how the waves will rise. They have such big she'ifas. The waves, mamash, are trying to reach the heavens. Since Maaseh Bereishis, the waves are rising. And even though over and over again the waves crash on the shore, still they continue on. And they delight in the sweetness of those moments of closeness, even though invariably in life it's hard to hold on to those moments and you hit the shore, you hit the ground, sometimes even lower. It's like Kedushas Yontif said, Shivchi Kamaim Liveich, that so it is without davening, so it is in our relationship with Hashem Yisbarach. Hashem Yisbarach has tremendous, tremendous nachas ruach. When he sees a couple of Yidden getting together on a weeknight, there could be many other things to do. And a couple of chever get together on a weeknight, and we're trying to, a little bit, to ride a wave a little bit higher. It's hard to hold on to these moments. The same way that for Chasan Kala, after the chuppah, and life sort of settles into like a C minor of just day to day. There are children and carpools and work and the house. The Baruch Shalom has such nachas ruach. And we should also, when we have those moments, those moments that are higher, those moments that are special. Shivchi Kamaim Liberch Neuchat Pnei Hashem, like the ocean. It rises and falls and rises and falls. The time will come when we'll only be rising, it will no longer be falling. So I want to learn with you something that really is in place of the probably dozens or hundreds of shmuzim that I would have had with you over this past year and a half, had it not been for the Indian that Hashem brought into the world. Just to contain everything in a few minutes of what it is that I'm trying to convey to the Chevron and Shul and to my Chevron here. As I said on Shabbos, especially since my father was Nifter, around the time when this all started, about a year and a half ago, I've been thinking so much about what it is that he brought into my life in such a quiet and mysterious way, and to try to understand it and to explain it. But I find that I can't explain it, but I want to talk to you about how it's hard to explain. And I think that you'll understand what I'm getting at. Zois chukas ha-toyre. The Alter Rebbe Schussi Yelena, the Baal HaTanya, speaks about chukas ha-toyre in four main places in the Kutei Torah. In Achrimois, in Chukosai, Chukas, and in Shir Shir. Where the Alter Rebbe explains the difference between Oisius the Ksiv and Oisius the Chakika. Letters that are written and letters that are engraved. Kibi, he says, Hine Yedua Kibitur Shvachsav Yesh Shnemin Ksiv. In Torah Shebichtav, there are two types of writing. Kibeluchais Nemar, Vamichtav Michtav Lakim, Charus ala Luchais. But the Luchais, the Oisius, were not written with ink. Charus ala Luchais. Says in Pasik, Mizeh umizeh him ksuvim. The letters were of the stone itself, through and through. Mizeh umizehem ksuvim. So nice. How the Isis, certain Isis was standing. But mizeh umizehem ksuvim. Moshe Rabbeinu was called a mechaykek. Shom chelkas mechaykek sofer. Mechaykek, the one who engraved. It means a lawgiver. But chakika means more than just speaking, and more than just even writing, it means engraving. Asher nechkak mehem uvehem. The Alter Rebbe writes, Asher nechkak mehem uvehem. B'lohoyu ha'isiyas ininim huspefnei atzma. Usually when a person writes with ink on the paper, on the parchment, there are two separate mehuyos, there are two separate mitzias. There's the mitzias of the parchment, of the page, and then there's the mitzias of the ksav. There's the mitzias of the heart, and then there's the mitzias of the words that are written upon the heart. Kos maluach liba, the words that are written on the heart. Can't compare ksiva to chakika. Speshah Torah Shebichtav, with the exception of the luchos, the rest of the Torah Shebichtav, d'yoy ksuva laklav. There are two separate, distinct realities. There's the parchment, there's the ink. The two separate. They're not really bound one to the other, and they can part from each other over time. Or they could be erased, it could be erased, could wear out. Asher ha'isi yisei mehus b'fnei atzma. V'lo mi'atzmi yusaklaf hei. Where the letters are not mi'atzmi yusaklaf. They're not from the atzmius of the klaf itself. And that's why it's called Torah Shebichtav V'Dai L'Meir. Masha'en came when it comes to Chakika. Zoi Shukas HaTor, Im B'chukai Sai Teleichu. When it comes to Chakika, you cannot distinguish between the Oisis and the Luchais. Mizeh U'mizehem Ksuvim. One mitzvah, it's one reality. Vine itzlas ksharnin, the three that are bound together, kutshebrichu, v'raisa v'yisrael, Hashem, the Torah, and Yisrael. Says Nazar Kadosh. Al kein v'chol nitzoitz v'nefesh elokis miyisrael, yeshlan gam kein shtei b'chines eilu. Because Hashem, the Torah, and Yisrael, and the Jew, are one, that unity is revealed, or is expressed, is experienced in two ways. Oisius Achakukim, for Oisius Aksut. Letters that are engraved, or letters that are inscribed, that are written. Letters that are engraved, letters that are written. The chiluk that I always felt between my father, Zichron Livracha, and that generation, and our generation now, is this chiluk between Oisius de Chakika and Oisius de Ksiv. Let me explain. Bar Yochai, Ashrei Yoladetecha. The Sfardim say it every Friday night. Not just the Lag Boim. It's part of the Seder Lel Shabbos. Ba Yochai Ashrei Ladetecha. Ashrei Ha'am Heim Loimdecha. Ba Ashrei Ha'oimdim Al Seidecha. Levushei Choshen Tumecha V'urecha. By Yochai Rabbi Shimon. When we're saying Rabbi Shimon, we mean also the Arizal, we mean the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Kusi Yigaleinu, the Tzaddikim. Ashrei Yoladetech. Fortunate is the mother, the woman who gave birth to you. Ashrei Ha'am Heim Loimdecha. And fortunate are the ones who study your teaching. But even more fortunate are those who are able to understand your secrets. They are the ones who are levushei tumecha v'urecha, the oisis of the Urim V'Tumim, that they wear upon their hearts. What's the meaning of Soid? There are two Bechinas of Soid. The way it's used in the world, where there's a secret, that you know something and you didn't tell other people yet, that's not Be'etzem a Soid. It just means you haven't told anybody yet. And when it comes to Yidden, when it comes to Jews, a Soid is usually something you tell one person at a time. But it's not Be'etzem a secret. It's just that it's not known yet to other people. You haven't shared the secret yet. But according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the Baalei HaSoid, that's not what Soid is. That's not a Soid Be'etzem. That's not a secret Be'etzem. Asher Ha'imdim Al Seidecha. A soid be'etzem means that there's something in my life, there's a metzias pshute in my life that is so real to me, it's so alive to me, it's something that I can't possibly explain. If somebody asks me, before I came here, I got a little message for my daughter and son-in-law in Yerushalayim, with the picture of my granddaughter Tirza Gittel's graduation. She's only 4 years old or something like that. But there was some graduation from Ghana, whatever it is. And a lot of little kids, but I'm looking only at Tirza Gittel, you know? And if any of you would have been looking at this clip, it would be completely ridiculous and boring to you to watch a bunch of little kids covered with candy all over their faces and popcorn, singing the wrong words to a niggin. It would mean absolutely nothing. But if you ask me, Moshe, what do you have to say about, what do you feel about Tirza Gittel? It's a sight, I tell you. I could share with you that she has freckles, She's a little bit of a Gingy. She reminds me of my own daughter, Suri and Shifi. I could tell you some things about her. She's smart. She's cute. Everybody's grandchildren, you know, sound the same. The side of Tirtze Gittel, that's Chokuk B'Libi, Libi U'Besori, Yiranu Kelchai, that side is something that it's unexplainable. It's not a secret that I haven't told you. I can't explain it to myself. You all know the story with the Heilige Bedichtshava. We sang his Niggun before. You know that the Bedichtshava, he was expected to be the upcoming Gadol Hador. He was a Goyin HaGoyin in the Bedichtshava. And his father-in-law was not at all happy that he went to Mezritch and became a Talmud of Mezritcha Magid. His father-in-law was very, very unhappy. Those are the stories that we don't read about in the Svarim. His father-in-law was not a chassid by any stretch of the imagination. And nor were the people around him where he lived. And he went away for months. And his father-in-law was very, very angry about the whole inyan. Without going into the pratim that we know, he was very angry. And when the Bedichtshava, when Rabbi Levi Yitzchak came back, you all know that happened. His father-in-law asked him, "So what did you find in Mezritch?" What did they teach you in Mezritch? So you remember the Bedichtshava said, they taught me that there's Rabbanu Shlom. The Magid taught me there's Rabbanu Shlom. So the father-in-law went mamish crazy. And he called over the non-Jewish girl that was working in the house. He said, "Come here, I want to ask you something. Do you believe in God?" And she said, "Certainly I believe in God." He said, "Thank you. Okay, go back to work." So the father-in-law said to Bedichtshava that for that you left your family. For 6 months, 5-6 months, for that you left your family. When the Shifcha believes in God, you left the family for 6 months to go to Mezritch to find out there's a God. So you remember what the Bedichtshava said? Have you remember? What did he say? She says there's a God, but I know there's a God. I never knew that until now. She says it, but I know it. This which the Rebbe Baruch Meshbetz has said, that a Jew can't even explain to himself, it's such a soid, komus, belev, Yehudi. Like the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, Yud Ches, that a Yid, even a Yid that his whole life he thought he's not the mom and he doesn't know what he's doing, he doesn't keep mitzvahs, and yet he finds himself ready to jump into the fire because he's a Jew. He doesn't know why. It's a soid komus. It's a secret mamash. That's called nister. That's called soid. The Yosha Devarim says, from a Mendel of Primishlana, that you could have a person. And he says he wants to learn Nista. You say, okay, you know, you want to learn Nista, what's Nista? You can go to the Sfarim store and you can buy a Zohar Kodesh, you can buy Kisvei Ari, and if you don't understand it, you might not understand Gemara Rashi Tosfos either. That's not Nista. Whoever wants to learn can learn. Nista is something else. Nista means a soid. It means when a person lives his Yiddishkeit. When it's a chakiku, when it's something that's inseparable from him. That, by the way, can be a nigla also. There's a different way that a Jew learns a blad gemara. There are different ways to learn a blad gemara. You could be a lamdan, you could be somebody that's very smart, and you learn in the way of sichlius, and it doesn't change your life ki huzeh. You can go back and have the same hirurei aveira. You could be Isaac in the same things that are not appropriate for a Jew, for a ben Torah. Even though you spent the whole day in the Beis HaMedrash. Because if the Gemara hasn't become a part of who you are, if it's not something which is chokuk, it's not a chakika, it doesn't change your life. You might be able to even say a fancy shiur. And you could Google all kinds of Maariv Mekoimos and hand out pages and say some kind of a fancy, nice pilpul. That's not called nistir. That's not called nigla. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik, V'Kodesh Levracha, when he was on the way from Europe and they escaped and he was going to Japan, to China, they were on the boat for a long time. A long time, and he was standing on the deck of the boat, looking out at the endless ocean. And there was some yid that was standing next to Reb Chaim. And this yid couldn't help himself. He just said, "Oy, where are we? Where are we?" In other words, like, when are we going to see land? Where are we? And Chaim Shmulevitz was looking out at the ocean, and he said, "We're in the third Shmaitzah, the fourth parak." He was in the Sheikh Shmaitzah, you understand? He actually had a whole kuntrus that he wrote on the boat, on Sheikh Shmaitzah. Because Reb Chaim Shmulevitz didn't just learn the Sheikh Shmaitzah. He didn't just learn the Black Gemara. It was a soid. It was Batara soid. It was something that was, other people could say, "I know this. He says the Blat Gemara. I know the Blat Gemara." Something else. When you hear a Shia from an Adam Gadol who knows the Gemara in a way of Chakika, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Soon it's going to be my Rebbe's yard site. Rav David Lifshitz, a few days is the yard site, Swiss Elaine. And I remember sometimes he would say something over him from Reb Shimon, from his Rebbe. He would stand up. He would say, "Mori Rabbi Reb Shimon." And that feeling that we had, that when Reb Dov would close his eyes and he would say over for the next hour or something, he wouldn't sit down. He stood up and he said, "Mori Rabbi Reb Shimon." He wasn't giving a shiur, you understand? He was giving over Reb Shimon. He was giving over the Rabbanu Shlom. He was giving over the Torah in such a way. It's something else. It's something different. It's a chakika. Zay schukas ator. The Rav once explained. This also, there are traces of this also from before the Rav and the family, his father, his uncle. That there's a difference between teaching Torah and giving Torah over. And we see, because I was talking to the Chevron Shul about this on Shabbos afternoon, because we see that in the Braise and Erev and the Daf Nudalad, when the Gemara tells us, Seder HaMishnah, of how Moshe Rabbeinu would review the Torah with Aaron, with the sons, and so on, until it was reviewed four times with all of Bnei Yisrael. Everybody has the whole of the Torah, Shbal Peh. It says there, the Seder Mishnah, and there's a person who's missing from the Seder Mishnah, which is very, very strange, that Yeshua's name is not found over there. And by Yeshua it says in Torah that Leimash, he never left the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua was the closest Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, Yeshua's name is not found in the Seder Mishnah. But where is Yeshua's name? Very prominent. Moshe Kibbutz Torah B'Sinai, Umsar LeYeshua, Bechulei. Moshe Kibbutz Torah B'Sinai. Doesn't say that Hashem limed or Moshe lamda B'Sinai. It says that Moshe received the Torah at HaSinai, and he gave it over to Yeshua. Listen, Yeshua knew how to say a good shiur. And Yeshua knew the entire curriculum. And Yeshua was a big bucky in Shas and Poskim. Bavli, Yerushalmi, everything. Yeshua knew everything. He never left Moshe Rabbeinu's side. But by Yeshua, the Torah was something else. It wasn't just an inyan by Yeshua that it was Nechtav Aluach Liboy. It was Zois Chukas HaTorah. Oisis de Chakika. It was a soit komis in Yeshua. He received Yiddishkeit from Moshe Rabbeinu, and he gave it over. You are going to all be fathers in Yetzir Hashem. Some of you, maybe are fathers already. I don't know who's here. And if all you're going to do is to teach Yiddishkeit to your children, you will have failed. My father, Zecharon Levracha, he had to leave yeshiva because the yeshivas were closed by the Germans, by the Hungarians and the Germans. He was learning very strong in yeshiva. My uncle told me that my father made a siyum baal peh and the three brothers by his bar mitzvah baal peh with Rashi and Tosfos outside. Every Rashi and Tosfos and the three brothers, he never told me. My uncle told me. That was his bar mitzvah pshatel. Not today, I am a man. But then he went through the Molchama. He went through the war. And for many, many years, he hardly had the time to learn. The last tkufa of around 20, 25 years, he returned to the learning. Even when he didn't have the time, any time I would start something and talk in the Gemara, he would finish the blad. But it wasn't that that my father gave me. I don't remember hearing from my father a shia. But my father gave me over the oisis, the chakikah that he received from his father. He gave me over Yiddishkeit, that there's Rabbeinu Shalom. Other people talk about the Rabbeinu Shalom. My father knew there's Rabbeinu Shalom. And he gave me something of that feeling that I'm trying my whole life to touch that, to feel that, to sense it, to smell it, to sing about it, to talk to as many Jews in the world I can talk about, even though I can't explain it, because the beauty of it is that it's unexplainable. It's a side. Ashrei ha'am ha'aimdim al sadecha. There are Jews who just learn Torah. I'm going to share with you something I told the guys here in the past. Even though I understand the advantages of having a computer in the Beis HaMedrash, every time I would walk in Beis HaMedrash and I see guys on the computer, it makes me feel bad a little bit. Please don't, I don't mean it as an insult to anybody. I know it works for you and that's what you're used to. The oisis are not oisis of chakikah. When you open up an old Gemara and there are other Jews who looked in it and the pages are worn and it has that great smell. When you open up a Rashba and a Ritva, the oisis, even though of course it was also printed, the oisis of chakikah. You tell your Kala and Mitzvah Shem next week, you're going to say, Hariat Makudesh, just leave it to Bazu Kadas Moshe Yisrael. Mitzvah Shem had the schuss to be with you under the chuppah. And Hariat Makudesh, just leave it to Bazu. Mikudesh, just leave it to Bazu Kadas Moshe Yisrael. Moshe, Machoike, Chelkas Machoike, Sof. That the letters of Hariat Makudesh, just leave. Are so engraved mizeum mizeum ksuvim that you'll never ever look anywhere else in your life, ever. That your eyes will never ever chalil look anywhere else. That your heart will never ever ever stray. The oisius, our oisius of chakika. It's not about, are you with me? I don't know if you're with me. It's not about a yom iyun in Yiddishkeit, you understand? It's not about a seminar. It's not about Mar Mekaymes. It's about breathing and drinking and eating. Kippit lach tehillim. Of what it means to be a Yid, to be a Jew. Mizeh o mizeh, to be a Yid. That's called Zayis Chukas HaTorah. When you meet a Jew like that, then I was zeichet to be in the presence of Jews like that. I saw people like that. I heard Torah from people like that. I saw people like that. Rav Eichmann has written a beautiful sefer on the Shem Yishmol. Around 30 years ago when the shul started, there was an alter Polish Yid, an old Polish Jew, that was the grandfather of one of the guys from Shul. He already was nifter many years ago, this Yid. But all of that personality and color of that type of a Jew, which if you didn't meet, you don't know what I'm talking about. The Alta Polish Yid. Clean shaven, with a gartel. Went through 5 camps. And I was talking to him. He didn't speak much English. Even though he was in America for a long time, he spoke very little English. And I asked him where he was from. He told me he was from Sachetchev. So I asked him, when were you born? So he said to me right away, you want to know if I saw the Shem Yishmael? Because I was, of course, that's what I wanted to know. The Avnei Nezer I knew was a Shaykh. But I thought maybe the Shem Yishmael. He was an old person. This is 30 years ago. He said to me, I climbed under the Shem Yishmael's table many times by the Tish Friday night. And he would give me Shiraim under the table. And I would lick it from his fingers. And I grabbed this Jew's hand and I licked his fingers. I said, I want to lick your fingers. Your fingers held the hand, took the fish from the Shem Yishmael's hand. Can you explain that to somebody? What does that mean? The taste of this Jew's hand. The taste of the Shem Yishmael Shirai. This is what we have to dream about and daven for and try on our level as much as possible. I know I'm not making any sense at all. I didn't come to talk seichel. I like to do that too sometimes. But the hergeshim, the feelings are very strong. I want to read to you a poem. That's a little bit strange. I'll read you this poem. There was a Baal Shuva. I often read her poems in shul. Baal Shuva, she had a number of names that she used. Her real name was Sarah Rosenblatt. She was a Breslov of Baal Shuva from Baltimore that lived in Yerushalayim in Me'eshar. And her own children didn't know that she was an unbelievable poet. She was writing under different names. And there is a book of her poetry, and there's another one that should be coming out, hopefully soon, of a collection of all of her poems. It's exceptional, exceptional. She wrote about the things that we live, and she knew how to put them into words. So this takes a second. Listen, I know it's hard to listen to it, especially late at night to listen to a poem, but it's short. It's called Concepts. So it's about the poet sitting with a friend of hers. Now, the poet is a mother with kids, and her friend, I guess they're sitting on a bench, their kids playing, and her friend is not married. The friend doesn't have any children, is never married. So the friend asks her, what keeps you going? An unmarried friend once asked. I said something about the children, about doing it all for them. I see, she said. So it's the concept of children that gives you strength. I gave up trying to explain. The concept of children wouldn't inspire me to lift a finger. No, it's Adela's arms flung around my neck, the pull of Feige's hair tangled on the comb, Nechami's soft cheek on mine, the baby's little form snug fitting in my arm. It's not the concept of children, but the solid reality of them that fills my days. There's a lot of talented people who are able to teach concepts of God, concepts of Yiddishkeit. Moshe Kibbel Torah Mitzchanim is sorely Yeshua. How do you give over God Himself, the Baruch Shalom Himself, not as a concept, but as the solid reality of a person's life? Because if the Baruch Shalom is the solid reality in your life, you'd be surprised how the Yetzer will have not much to do with you. But if Yiddishkeit and if what you're learning is a concept in your life, it's still good. But it's not a samadachai, you understand? It's not. It doesn't necessarily keep you alive and breathing as a Yid. And when you have a nisayon, Look how many people are falling apart during this last year, falling apart. If I would have in a journal the thousands of conversations with people from all the different places, and what was going on, and how they were, and even like, you know, people that you think that they have a little bit of emuna, a little bit bitachon, and not falling apart in so many ways, and not, and now people, they're not going back to shul. They, you know, I'm not talking about older people or people not well and stuff like that. You understand? It comes to strange things. But the parasha of Pesach Sheni, there's a Torah from Kuznets HaMagid, Chushlan, Pirkei Avos, he says, Pesach Sheni is brought down also in Avodas Yisrael. When it says, a person is Tamei, Yubederach HaChayka, sometimes a person is Tamei, happens in life. What does it mean, Yubederach HaChayka? Rashi Chazal say that even if a person has one foot into the Azar and the other foot's outside the Azar, it's still called Yubederach HaChayka. As far as Pesach Sheni is concerned, he's still called B'derech HaChayka. And the Kuznets HaMagid says, what do you mean B'derech HaChayka? He's 6 inches away. The Kuznets HaMagid says, it's not a matter of distance. He says that if you, when you said the words Baruch Atah Hashem, which you and I say many times a day, Baruch Atah Hashem, and you're not saying those words Baruch Atah Hashem, Kedaber Ishal Re'ehu, the way that one would say to his dearest friend, staring at him in his face, it means that you are what? B'derech HaChayka. It means that you're far away. Pesach Sheni. Far away. So you could be a person that studies Kitzvei Ari, and you learn the Zohar, and you walk around campus with a Me'er Shiloach, and you write a doctoral thesis on the Shloach Others or something. B'derech HaChayka. You have a PhD in Kabbalah. Oh, B'derech HaChayka. The same way you could write a PhD on the subject of love, but you're never in love. You speak Yiddish a little bit, you could figure it out. It's worth nothing. 10 volumes of it on the Encyclopedia of Love is not worth a moment of feeling love and being in love. That's what Yiddishkeit is. That's the meaning of Zayis Chukas HaTorah. Our job, Chevra, is to try to daven, to cry to Hashem, to give us a taste of the Shemir Shmuel Shirai, to give us a taste of Rab Shimon Shkop's Torah, of Rab David's Torah, to give us a taste of the Oisis the Chakika, the Oisis the Chakika. Yesterday was Lubavitch Rebbe Yotzei, Gimel Tammuz. There was a Talmud Chacham who once made a ha'ara about the Lubavitch Rebbe. Tzadik, Lamdan, it's Kaddish. There's so many Maivsim. There was somebody who made a ha'ara, a Talmud Chacham made a ha'ara, that during the war, during the Holocaust, the Germans, Yimach Shemam, had a minhag to hunt every Jew they could find. Ad kedei kach, that even if there was one Jew left in the shtetl, from the shtetl, that was hiding in the woods, one half-dead Jew that was hiding in the woods, they would take 100 Germans with dogs to go find where this one half-dead Jew who would have died on his own. One half-dead Jew was hiding under some bushes or something. They would go with dogs looking in the forest. My father remembers when they were running away, the Germans were running because the Americans and the Russians were coming, and the Jews were running, and the Germans were running. And when the Germans were running away for their lives, they were turning around and trying to kill Jews. They were hunting every Jew they could find. Crazy. Amalek fears the world in such a way. That's how they run things, Amalek. So after the war, the Baruch Shalom sent a Jew into the world, like Lubavitcher Rebbe, who made his entire existence hunting every single Jew in the world. trying to find Zachai and Eichmavakish, every Jew in the world. But no one else could find, every Jew was hiding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to find him. It's a very, very deep understanding of the tzaddik. What was driving him in such a way? Like such a hash'ara. Of course we don't know, but it's a very deep ha'ara. We have to seek each other, we have to seek others, we have to seek other Jews. We have to seek our brothers and sisters. And they're not the only ones who are hiding, the ones who are not keeping mitzvahs. We're also hiding. Hashem Yisbarach should help us. That this whole tekufa now is finishing. And it must be that there's something very, very, very big that's waiting for us. He needs a oymed achakus lein. Hashem Yisbarach should help each and every one of us that we should be zayichim for the oisius of chakika. And to hear the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth and from all the tzaddikim, and to be zayichim mekalb b'nei Mashiach zekeinu b'gashem mitzvah, and have you ever known a man of our name.